There's 25 Things You Don't Know About Me by Tiffany Thiessen. The actress and deliciousness host serves up some delectable facts for us. 1. My favorite movie is E.T. 2. Fans usually say to me, "You look a lot like that girl on Saved by the Bell and Beverly Hills 90210. Or was it Baywatch?" 3. My favorite thing to cook is anything that will bring a smile to someone's face or make them want seconds. 4. My secret talent is that I can pack a car like Tetris. 5. My first car was a gold 280Z T-top that I wasn't able to drive because it was a stick shift. Then I gave that car to my dad and bought a black Honda Prelude. 6. My most embarrassing onset moment was on Beverly Hills 90210. I needed to drive my car in a scene and I wasn't able to because I didn't know stick shift. 7. The actress I looked up to the most growing up was Sally Field. 8. My most starstruck moments are between Prince and Michael Jackson. 9. My favorite item in my wardrobe right now is a styled faux leather mini dress. 10. I don't steal keepsakes from sets, but I know quite a few people who did. 11. My favorite room is my kitchen. 12. On Sunday afternoons, you'd find me either at my son's baseball game, a local skate park, or meal prepping for the week. But if I'm really lucky, watching CBS News Sunday morning, that I've recorded. 13. My favorite comfort meal is crunchy tacos. 14. It's a tie between Harry Connick Jr. and Rob Lowe for my celebrity crush growing up. 15. My alternate profession would be either a wine or cheese maker. 16. The best advice I've ever received is listen to your intuition. 17. One place I'd like to go is Portugal for the food, the landscape, and the people. 18. I've always had an insecurity with my hands, much more when I was younger, but it's still not a favorite part of my body. 19. My guilty pleasure reality show is Someone Feed Phil. That's all the time we have for that article. That was 25 Things You Don't Know About Me by Tiffany Thiessen. That concludes today's readings from Us Weekly. This has been Lydia Coppell for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 27 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 40s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, January 14th. API calls for more energy industry support. American Petroleum Institute offers three pillars to strengthen already strong industry. The story was written by Mella McEwen. America's energy industry is strong heading into 2023, with oil and natural gas production rising and emissions falling as natural gas increasingly replaces coal in generating electricity. Quote, but the state could be stronger, said Mike Summers, president and chief executive officer of the American Petroleum Institute, during the association's annual State of American Energy press call. Strengthening the industry even more would require bipartisan cooperation on energy policies that encourage development of the nation's energy resources and less negative rhetoric from the administration, Summers said. Summers said the U.S. can offer the solution to the global energy crisis. That crisis, he said, was driven by the rapid resurgence in energy demand after the COVID-19 pandemic that outstripped supplies and exacerbated by Russia's invasion of Ukraine 11 months ago. Europe's woes in the aftermath of that invasion should be a wake-up call to the U.S., he added. The association has developed a three-pronged blueprint to strengthen U.S. energy: make, move, and improve. With supplies inadequate to meet demand, the API urged the U.S. Department of the Interior to issue a robust five-year offshore leasing program and hold quarterly onshore lease sales, seek federal rules that allow U.S. refineries to use critical process technologies to provide enough fuel, and urge the administration to signal its support for needed investment in energy development, including revisiting the Securities and Exchange Commission's proposed regulations on climate disclosure. Quote, in our view, the most important thing banks and investor groups could do to advance environmental protection is invest in U.S. oil and gas. The U.S. oil and gas industry has done more to improve its environmental footprint than anywhere else in the world. The investment community should focus on new investments in U.S. oil and gas, the most environmentally responsible, said Summers. Quote, all of the incentives are there to produce more oil and natural gas in the U.S., stated Frank Macciarola, API's senior vice president, policy, economic, and regulatory affairs. Quote, with record demand, the environment is right to produce more. We need signals from policymakers that there will be a long-term market for production. The administration is sending mixed signals. They call for more oil and gas, yet they shut off lease sales and shut in critical infrastructure, end quote. Once that energy is produced, moving it to market is critical, and the API calls on government regulators to deem major energy infrastructure projects as critical and streamline the review and permitting process. That includes revising the National Environmental Policy Act. The government should also support pipeline safety innovation, accelerate liquefied natural gas projects, and lift supply chain bottlenecks, lifting steel tariffs, and relieving port congestion. The administration should also support industry efforts to improve its energy production and provide the lower carbon fuels and emissions reductions being sought around the globe. Tax credits for carbon capture, utilization, and storage under Section 45Q should be clarified and permits for low carbon infrastructure reviewed and issued in a consistent, timely manner. The federal government should also support development of an energy workforce through STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math education. West Texas Natural Gas eyes Mexico. The story was written by Mila McEwen. As Permian Basin oil production rises, so does the production of natural gas associated with that crude, filling the region's pipelines. Producers seeking a home for all that production are turning their sights on international markets. And with almost 2 billion cubic feet of natural gas finding its way from Permian Basin oil fields to Mexico, West Texas eyes are on our neighbor to the south. Mexico currently is the destination for about 71% of U.S. natural gas pipeline exports. hoping to fill part of Mexico's demand for U.S. natural gas, is ONEOK, whose subsidiary, Saguaro Connector Pipeline, has filed a presidential permit application with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the FERC, to construct and operate facilities for the exportation of natural gas at a new international border crossing at the U.S. and Mexico border in Hudspeth County. The proposed border facilities would connect upstream with a potential interstate natural gas pipeline, the Saguaro Connector Pipeline, which would be designed to transport natural gas from ONEOK's existing Westex intrastate natural gas pipeline system in the Permian Basin in West Texas to Mexico. Additionally, the proposed border facilities would connect at the international boundary with a new pipeline under development in Mexico for delivery to an export facility on the west coast of Mexico. The potential Saguaro Connector Pipeline would consist of approximately 155 miles of 48-inch diameter natural gas pipeline originating at the Waha Hub in Pecos County. The ultimate design capacity of the potential pipeline would be approximately 2.8 billion cubic feet per day. Final investment decision on the potential pipeline is expected by mid-2023. James Taylor, senior energy analyst at East Daily Analytics, told the Reporter Telegram by email that ONEOK's announcement was somewhat surprising. Quote, "Although there are several planned LNG facilities slated to be constructed on Mexico's Pacific coast, and the likely source for all that supply would be the Permian Basin, ONEOK has not specified which facilities they plan to supply, and the pipeline on the Mexico side of the border still needs to be approved and constructed. Only Sempra's Costa Azul LNG facility has been sanctioned," he wrote. "That means," he added, "that it will be some time before the project is complete." Still, Taylor wrote, quote, "If all the LNG comes to fruition, it would provide a welcome destination for Permian gas and help balance out price basis versus Henry Hub," end quote. New opportunities for natural gas. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Natural gas producers and providers will have a full plate this year, addressing issues ranging from emissions to permitting reform to infrastructure needs. But as Suzanne Sitherwood, President and Chief Executive Officer of Spire in St. Louis, took the helm as Chairman of the Board of the American Gas Association, a new topic was added to the mix. The Consumer Product Safety Commission raised the possibility of banning gas stoves, citing research that 12% of current childhood asthma cases can be attributed to gas stoves that emit nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, and fine particulate matter. The issue was the first to be raised as Sitherwood and Karen Harbert, AGA President and Chief Executive, held a media call Thursday morning. Quote, "As you know, the natural gas utilities industry is one of the most highly regulated industries there is," said Harbert, adding that the AGA constantly works with federal, state, and local regulators on natural gas safety. Harbert said the AGA welcomes reviews based on sound science and said the studies cited by the CSPC were based on reviews of papers and not on actual testing to determine a link between gas stoves and childhood asthma. She added that there are other studies that do not show a link between the two. Quote, "We are not unregulated in this matter," Harbert pointed out, saying there are standards for natural gas stoves and carbon monoxide emission standards for them to meet in order to be certified for installation in homes and businesses. The reason the CSPC announcement, on which it has backtracked and said it won't recall gas stoves, caused such a stir is because consumers, whether individuals or professional chefs like their gas stoves, said Sitherwood. Hubbub about gas stoves aside, the two said they are very upbeat about what 2023 will bring for the natural gas industry. Harbert said there are some very good provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act, as well as the bipartisan infrastructure law, that will allow advancements in environmentally friendly technology like carbon capture, utilization, and storage. Quote, we have done detailed studies on how to get to net zero emissions by 2050. There are a multitude of pathways, and CCS is one of them, said Harbert. They're not commercially available yet, but incentives to do so have been accelerated in the IRA. We're going to need a lot of different technologies deployed to get to net zero, end quote. Incentives contained in the legislation will also accelerate research and development into hydrogen, she said. Already, AGA member companies are proposing pilot projects to develop hydrogen as an energy source that can eventually be scaled up for commercial applications. An urgent need is permitting reform, said Sitherwood. Quote, having certainty in the permitting process is key, she stated. If a company is willing to deploy capital for storage facilities, pipeline construction, or expansion or gas processing facilities, that company needs to know there is a permitting pathway available, she said. Added Harbert, a time-bound process is needed to allow companies to deploy that capital so they can not only provide the energy customers need, but the economic stimulus the country needs through their investments. Texas mineral rights firm goes digital. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Mineral rights ownership in the state of Texas can be a convoluted thing involving split estates, surface ownership versus subsurface ownership, and multiple owners through the sale, inheritance, or donation of those rights. Valor, the asset management firm specializing in mineral rights, is embracing the digital age to help simplify matters. The Fort Worth-based company is applying a digital algorithmic approach to managing private assets powered by the company's proprietary software platform, Mineral.Tech. This platform integrates accounting, land data, and sophisticated maps to offer precise tracking of land management, leases, oil and gas production, accounting, and royalties. Quote, the key to all this is being to enable access and utilize that information, said Joseph DeWitty, Valor's chief executive officer. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, DeWitty said the information is generated utilizing not only client-provided data, but data from state agencies like the Railroad Commission. The platform can simplify mineral rights ownership and detail information on oil and gas operator activity on clients' land, he said. It has been well received by individual asset owners, and now Valor is educating banks, especially middle market banks, about the platform. While DeWitty said Valor works with banks of all sizes, middle market banks often don't have the technical expertise or manpower to adequately service clients with oil and gas holdings. Quote, there are banks that don't have a full technical staff and would like to partner with us, he said. DeWitty anticipates new wrinkles in mineral rights management with the need to accommodate handling of produced water, either through disposal or treatment and reuse, as well as carbon capture and sequestration. With Midland at the heart of the nation's most prolific oil and gas-producing basins, Valor has a number of Midland-based investors and clients, and in fact has established a satellite office in Midland. In fact, Claire Shaw has joined the company to manage Valor's West Texas presence. Quote, a lot of what we do for our clients in Midland is documents management, to what he observed. He assured that security around the software is paramount, and it has gone through multiple audits to certify that access to the information is adequately controlled. Clients anywhere in the world can access the information at any time and see what's happening around their holdings in almost real time. The platform, quote, is a solution that's needed, said DeWitty. It does fit into the way of the world, end quote.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, January 14th from Dennis Elam. Musk net worth tumbles. Elon Musk has set a world record for the largest loss of personal fortune in history, about $200 billion since November 2021. Guinness World Records. During the bull market, it seemed Elon could do no wrong with Tesla or SpaceX, but bear markets have a way of taking former heroes down a notch or two. We noted the same happened post-oil boom with Eddie Charles of Western Company, spending $44 billion on Twitter by selling Tesla shares looks odd now, and the progressive lovers of Twitter are aghast that their privileged platform has fallen into hostile hands. Markets were so oversold by the end of October, a bounce was due. The heavier weighted stocks that led the market down have rallied. Meta, Amazon, Priceline, and Honeywell all helped lift various indices. Industrials have held up the best. The rally has taken that index from 29,000 to 34,500. Inflation in December eased for the sixth straight month from its mid-year peak. We recommended buying closed-end municipal funds like BLE over the last 2 months. This fund fell from 1450 in December 21 to 950 in November 22. It has now rallied to $10.85. That is a good percentage move, and one captures a 5% plus free tax yield at the same time. Follow this trade on my blog at www.themarketperspective.com. A primary reason for the retreat in inflation has been the drop in the prices of the energy sector. West Texas Intermediate crude peaked just under $125 in June and now trades at $78. Gasoline futures peaked at $4.20 and now trade at $2.48. Despite the drop in oil prices, energy share prices have done very well. The XLE moved from $52.50 last January to over $89 today. The Republican thin House majority promises to fast-track more federal leases. Employment in the Permian Basin is strong. Halliburton bottomed at $24 in October and has regained its June high of $42. Still, the NASD has been the hardest hit of the DJIA or SPX. Stock prices sold off and then rallied last January, peaking in February before resuming the downtrend. A similar rally has occurred with the DJIA moving from 33,000 to over 34,000. Best guess is that lower inflation numbers, less anxiety about rate increases, both of which are reflected in a bond price rally, may calm things again into February and March. This is Jane reading for the Saturday Odessa American for January 14th from The Economist. 30 million Texans. The Texas population now tops 30 million, according to recent estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. In fact, the state added over 470,000 people, the largest gaining state in the nation. Growth in Texas last year was fueled by gains from all three components: net domestic migration, 230,000, net international migration, 118,000, and natural increase, about 118,000. That's a lot of new Texans, almost 1,300 every day. Growth among states continues to be very uneven. Florida added the second largest number of new residents, just over 416,000, and was the fastest growing state in 2022 in percentage terms, with an annual population increase of 1.9%. Other states with large gains include North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona. About 37% of the net expansion in the entire country was in Texas. However, 18 states had population declines for the year. New York had the largest annual numeric and percent population decline, decreasing by 180,000. California and Illinois also had six-figure decreases. Moves around the United States accounted for a notable component of the changes. The biggest gains from net domestic migration last year were in Florida, just over 300,000, Texas, 230,000, and North Carolina, just over 99,000. The biggest losses were in California, a loss of 343,000, in New York, almost 300,000, and in Illinois, just over 140,000 people. People choosing to move to Texas reflects a range of factors, from the dynamic economy to greater affordability. With companies locating and expanding, and the likelihood that the state will outperform most areas, we can expect to continue to attract new residents from other parts of the country and the world. At the same time, a younger population contributes to the natural growth rate. Schools will need to expand. According to data from the Texas Education Agency, total enrollment in Texas public schools increased by nearly 429,000 students over the past 10 years, and many schools are crowded. In addition, nearly 61% of all students are identified as economically disadvantaged, and the number is rising, up by some 56,000 over the last year. The percent of students identified as emergent bilingual students or English learners is also growing and now approaches 22%. Both of these groups require additional resources in the classroom and are critical to our future workforce. Accommodating the substantial population explosion expected in the decades to come will also require investing in infrastructure of all types, highways, broadband, electric transmission and distribution, pipelines, and water delivery systems. The key is to try to get ahead of, or at least stay with, the increases to avoid eroding quality of life for all. With the right investments in education and infrastructure, we can keep Texas a great place to live and work. We have the resources. It's time to step up. Stay safe.
This article is entitled, OPEC Expects Oil Market to Be Balanced in First Quarter, by Grant Smith. OPEC expects global oil supply and demand to be in balance in the first quarter, and its top official said he's cautiously optimistic on the economic outlook. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries will need to provide an average of 28.85 million barrels a day in the first 3 months of the year, roughly 120,000 barrels a day less than it pumped last month, according to a report from the group's Vienna-based secretariat. The estimates provide further validation for the substantial production curbs OPEC and its allies made last year, saying they were necessary to keep crude markets in equilibrium. The measures have helped to support international oil prices near $85 a barrel, as traders gauge China's attempt to reopen its economy after almost 3 years of COVID lockdowns. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos earlier on Tuesday, OPEC Secretary General Haitham Al-Gayus said the group is seeing signs of green from China as travel and economic activity resume. Still, economic slowdown and persistent inflation in advanced economies are clouding the outlook, he warned. A panel of key OPEC Plus ministers will hold a monitoring meeting to assess market conditions on February 1st. But it's too early to say what they might decide, Al-Gayus added. United Arab Emirates Energy Minister Suhail Al-Mazrui said on Monday that oil markets are balanced. Heading into the second quarter, the report indicated that OPEC may face a slight surplus if it continues to produce at current rates, with expected demand for the group's crude dipping to 28.34 million barrels a day. For the year as a whole, OPEC predicts that world oil demand will increase by 2.2 million barrels a day to average 101.77 million a day, while supplies outside of the group will expand by 1.5 million barrels a day. The estimates are largely unchanged from last month's report.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, The Diabetes Show, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections at 6.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 28 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 40s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Odessa American